I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord once again. May the Lord bless you, strengthen you, encourage you, and we pray that all of us here may indeed be great and mighty witnesses for the Lord. And we are already coming to the middle of the month of August, and very soon August will be over. And then you see how fast the end of the year will be coming. Before we know it, it is here. So every day, as I keep on reminding you, we must be asking ourselves what we have been doing for the Lord. Every day when we wake up, that must be the question that we ask ourselves. Lord, what have I been doing for you? Lord, help me that I may be able to do something good for you today. Let that be our prayer every day when we come before the Lord. The topic this morning is consequences of yes or no to the Word of God. In other words, the consequences of saying yes to the Word of God and the consequences of saying no to the Word of God. I speak from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. A couple decided to spend 1 hour per night to read God's Word. And then after reading for several nights, the husband said to the wife, "My dear, if this book is true, we are lost." And then they continued to read God's Word. And then several days later, the husband again said to the wife, he said to the wife, "My dear, if this book is true, we may be saved." And they continued reading. And then some nights after, the Holy Spirit moved their hearts, and they came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they concluded, "This book is true, indeed true. We can now be rejoicing in hope, in the hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face." Now my point is this, if a person receives the Word of God, as this couple did, he cannot be the same again. Something must happen to him as he did to this couple. This couple read God's Word, believed God's Word, received God's Word, and they were convicted of their sins, and they realized that they were lost. And then they continued to read God's Word, continued to receive God's Word, and they realized that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins, and that He rose up from the dead, and that in Him, in Jesus Christ, is everlasting life. And then they read further, believed God's Word, receive God's Word, and they were gloriously saved. And then something happened to them. They started rejoicing. They started rejoicing in the hope of the completion of their salvation, the hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday. My dear friends, this must be the result of anyone who receives God's Word, believes God's Word, and receives it sincerely into his heart. He cannot be the same. A change must take place in him. Now, I have 2 points this morning. Number one, the Word of God received. And number two, the Word of God rejected. 2 points. Now, first of all, the Word of God received. When Paul, Silas, and Timothy brought the Word of God to the Thessalonians, we read in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Yes, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." They receive the word of God as the word of God. When Paul, Silas, Timothy brought the word of God to them, they receive it as the word of God. To them, it was infallible. To them, it was error-free. To them, what was brought by Paul, Silas, and Timothy was not the opinions of men, but it was verily, truly the Word of God. Now, today, we have the Word of God, the Bible. The question is, how do we regard it? How do we regard the Bible? Do we regard it as God's Word? Now, if we say that we regard it as God's Word, then we must receive God's Word. If we say that it is God's Word, then we must receive it as God's Word. In other words, we must receive this Word as being error-free, infallible, and that it is authoritative. If it is God's word, then we must do what it says we must do. And because what it says is absolutely right. And that was exactly what the Thessalonians did when they received God's word. They were never the same again. They did what God's word told them to do. Now the next question is, how come the Thessalonians were able to receive God's word? Now we covered that, I think, in one of the last two messages. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, we read, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." In other words, Paul says, the word of God came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit. It came to you in the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. That is why the Thessalonians received God's word as God's word. Now we know that they truly believed God's word. How do we know that they had truly received God's word? Now we know that they had truly received God's word because they were transformed. Something happened to them. They were transformed. The word of God worked effectually in them. The word of God worked powerfully in them when they received God's word. Now look what happened to them. Chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 10. We covered those verses also in one of the last two messages. Verse 6. "And ye became followers of us." That's what happened. When they received God's word, they became followers of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and of the Lord. Not just followers of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, but they followed Paul, Silas, and Timothy to follow the Lord. So they became followers of the Lord, receiving the word in much affliction. Yes, they suffered persecution when they received God's word. But friends, they rejoiced because they were filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 7, "So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." See what happened to them? They became exemplary believers. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." In other words, they became very, very evangelistic. They spread the word of God. "So that we need not speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." In other words, their testimony was well known. Paul didn't have to boast about their testimony. The people whom Paul ministered to in areas other than Thessalonica knew of the reputation of these Christians who were converted in the city of Thessalonica. You see what great testimonies they were presenting, to the extent that it was so well known in that region. And verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." They were filled with this hope, the hope of seeing Jesus one day face to face. So you see, when the Thessalonians received God's word, the result was they showed forth fruits of repentance, fruits of righteousness. They turned from idols to serve the one true living God. And they produced works of faith. They produced labor of love. And they were filled with the patience of hope as they waited for the return of the Lord. Now then, and there was another result that showed that they were true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ when they received the word of God. Look at verse 14. "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews." They suffered persecution, just like the Jewish Christians suffered persecution in Jerusalem and in Judea. Judea was the land of the Jews, and the capital of Judea was the city of Jerusalem. Now it was in Jerusalem and in Judea that the early Christians first suffered persecution. And the kind of persecution that they suffered was very, very severe. Now, and then don't forget, those early Christians were all Jews. not Gentiles. They were all Jews. Yes, and they suffered persecution from whom? They suffered persecution at the hands of their fellow countrymen, the Jews. And then the apostles, all of whom were Jews, were threatened, beaten, and then some of them were thrown into imprisonment. And then you remember there was the case of Stephen, the martyr Stephen. Stephen was thrown to death. By whom? By the Jews. And now Paul surely knew what he was talking about when he said that Christians were suffering a persecution, because he himself, before he was converted, was persecuting the church, persecuting particularly his fellow countrymen, the Jews, who had professed to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He went about arresting them, bringing them before the Jewish religious leaders to be judged and then to be condemned. And when and he forced them to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when these people were condemned and they were put to death, he gave them his support for that kind of a punishment upon the Jewish Christians. Now, surely in those days there was not just one man like Paul. There were surely many people like Paul, many who were persecuting the church, many Jews, fanatical Jews who were persecuting the Jewish Christians in those days. And now, the Christians at Thessalonica were suffering exactly the same thing, persecution, not at the hands of the Jews, but at the hands of their countrymen, because they had received the word of God. Look at verse 14. But ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews. Now did the Thessalonian Christians go around looking for persecution? Of course not. They were of course not looking around for persecution. They were not trying to imitate the Jewish Christians and looking for persecution. No, my dear friends, the truth of the matter is that when they became Christians, when these Gentiles in Thessalonica became Christians, they were persecuted just like the Jews were persecuted in the city of Jerusalem and in all Judea. The truth is, Christians do not have to look for persecution. We don't have to look for persecution. Now, when Christians receive the word and become believers, they are very, very likely to attract persecution. Now, having said that, I want to be very, very clear in distinguishing between being genuinely persecuted and having a persecution complex. Now, some people have a persecution complex. They see persecution from people in everything. They see persecution. They say, oh, my boss persecuted me. My boss gave me very poor rating in my performance. Why? Because he knows that I'm a Christian. That's why he gave me such a poor rating. Yes. But the truth of the matter could really be this, that so-called or that professed Christian could be very lazy, very slothful, very poor in his performance. And so, legitimately, the boss gives him a very, very poor rating. Some people might say, people around me don't like me. Why don't they like me? They don't like me because I'm a Christian. I have received God's word. I'm a believer. The truth is, that person could be one who is very selfish. The person who professes to be a believer could be very, very selfish, very self-centered, very quarrelsome, very self-righteous, very judgmental. Now, who would want to relate with such a person? Nobody would. Yes. So, friends, let's not go around having this kind of a persecution complex. All right. But sometimes we know that we are really persecuted. We are in situations in which we know that we are really persecuted because we have received the word of God and have become true believers. For example, we could really be bypassed for a promotion because we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've said this before. Perhaps the boss does not want somebody who is not willing to tell lies in the higher position. So he promotes somebody who's willing to tell lies. He knows that you are a believer, you will not want to tell lies, and so you don't get the promotion. You are bypassed. Yes, because you have received the word and have become a believer. then that there are people around us who simply might not like us. Because we always go around with a very joyful appearance, and we are always standing on the side of righteousness, and people don't like us. And so, friends, we might be persecuted because of the kind of appearance that they have, we have. And people looking at us having that kind of behavior may want to make life miserable for us. And sometimes the saddest thing is the one who persecutes us is the one who is very close to us. Yes, indeed, very, very sad. I dare say that the one from whom I received the greatest persecution was my father. When my older brother became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, my father persecuted him. And then when I became a believer, he persecuted me. Yes, many times he threatened to disown us. Many times he threatened to drive us out of the home. And my father actually never stopped persecuting us until the last days of his life on this earth. I knew this Hindu man who became a Christian. After he became a Christian, there was no peace in the home because his wife was very antagonistic towards Christianity. So he gave him no peace. She persecuted him. And I remember his coming to church secretly without his wife's knowing. Not because he was afraid of the wife, because he didn't want to create a war in the home. So he was persecuted very badly by his wife. Friends, we should not be surprised if persecution ever comes to us. In fact, we should be very, very surprised that we don't experience any persecution at all. Now, the moment we profess that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are genuine believers and we really have received God's word, we can expect persecution to come our way. Because the Lord has already said it. He said, if you are a believer, yes, you are going to expect, we are going to receive persecution. John chapter 15, if you turn to John chapter 15, let's look at the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 18 to verse 20. John 15, 18 to 20. Yes. The Lord says in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So if the world persecuted our Lord, it should not come as a surprise to us that the world will persecute us. We who are his servants are not greater than the master. If the master is persecuted, we who are his servants can expect to be persecuted. My dear friends, if we have received God's word and if we have come to believe the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let us be rejoicing. Even if we are persecuted, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us this great comfort in his Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 10, he says verse 10 to verse 12, Matthew 5, 10 to 12, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice when you are persecuted. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, when the folks in the city of Thessalonica received God's word, they were transformed. All right? They first brought forth fruits of repentance. First, they turned from idolatry to serve the one true living God. And they brought forth fruits of righteousness. They became exemplary believers. They became very evangelistic. And their reputation of being evangelistic, the reputation of their true conversion, were well known to people in that region, to people whom Paul ministered to. And they became very, very joyful and hopeful believers. Joyful and hopeful believers. And one of the consequences of their receiving God's word and coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior was that they were persecuted. They received the word of God with much affliction, so the word of God says. Now, like the Thessalonian Christians, my dear friends, if we have truly received God's word into our hearts, we must necessarily bring forth fruits of repentance. If we say that we have received God's word, we must bring forth fruits of repentance, and we must bring forth fruits of righteousness. And we can expect persecution to come our way. In fact, as I said, we should be very, very surprised that we have never been persecuted at all. The persecution that comes our way may not be blatant, but it may come in a very, very subtle way. As I said already, we could be isolated or we could be bypassed for a promotion because we have received God's word and we have become true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, if we are persecuted, the Lord has this great comfort for us. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The word blessed means happy. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now let's move on to my second point, which is the word of God rejected. Now the Thessalonians were persecuted by those who rejected God's word. Now, who were these people who persecuted the Thessalonians? Yes, people who rejected God's word. Actually, it was the Jews, all right, the Jews who were responsible for persecuting the Thessalonian Christians, all right? Yes, I'll show this to you, that it was they who were responsible. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 5. Yes, 17 and verse 5, and you would see that it was actually the Jews who instigated the Gentiles to persecute their fellow Gentile believers. All right? Acts chapter 17, verse 5. Okay? Paul brought the gospel to the city of Thessalonica, and then these Jews in the city of Thessalonica were aiming to persecute him and his fellow missionaries, namely Timothy and Silas. Okay, now verse 5. But the Jews which believed not. You see, wherever Paul went, the first place that he went to would be the synagogue. He would try to preach the gospel to the Jews. But these Jews there were some Jews who came to believe. But there were others who rejected the gospel. They rejected God's word. And they were moved with envy, 17 verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. So you see the kind of a commotion that they stirred up. They gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. Of course, this uproar would involve Gentiles as well, not just Jews, but Gentiles. And they assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. The them here would refer to the Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Apparently, Jason was the man who hosted Paul, Silas, and Timothy when they came to the city of Thessalonica to preach the gospel. Yes, so these Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and with other Jews, of course, they came and assaulted the home of Jason with the aim of bringing Paul, Silas, and Timothy out into the streets to be persecuted. But they could not find Paul, Silas, and Timothy, so what they did was they seized Jason and together with some other Christians, and they brought them before the authority of the city. And the authority of the city then, in order to stop the commotion, then required required Jason to make a pledge, in other words, to make a guarantee, possibly some monetary guarantee, that Paul, Silas, and Timothy must stop preaching the gospel. And so Paul, Silas, and Timothy then left the city of Thessalonica very, very hurriedly. So you see, it was the Jews who really instigated the Gentiles to persecute the Christians, the Gentiles who had become Christians in the city of Thessalonica. Now, historically, the Jews were guilty of persecuting believers. You know why they were guilty of persecuting believers? Even in the history, in Old Testament time, they were guilty of persecuting believers. Why? Because they rejected God's word. We'll come to that. But look at verse 14 first. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, referring to the churches of the Jews. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, even as the Jewish Christians had suffered persecution of their fellow Jews. Verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, talking about Jews, of course, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. You know, the Jews were a very, very favored people. God gave them his oracles. In other words, God gave them his truth. God showed them the way of salvation. Only the Jews knew the way of salvation. God showed the way of salvation to the Jews. God showed them how to, the Jews, how to worship him. Yes. And they knew that salvation was by faith and faith alone, because their great ancestor, Abraham, believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So when they look at the ancestor, great ancestor Abraham, they knew that salvation could only be obtained by faith. They knew that, yes. And then the Lord promised to bless them if they were to obey him. Let's say when they went into the promised land, God said that if you obey me, I'm going to favor you with fruitfulness in the land that you occupy. Yes, not only will the land be flowing with milk and honey, but you will be very, very prosperous in the land that I've given to you. But then they rejected God's word. They chose to disobey him. They chose to reject him. And so the prophet Jeremiah had this to say about them. You look at Jeremiah 6:19, all right? Jeremiah 6:19. Yes, Jeremiah 6:19. Now these are the words of the one true living God to the Jews, or to the Israelites in those days. Jeremiah 6:19, to the Jews, in fact. Jeremiah 6:19. All right, I read for you. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon these people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You see, the Jews historically had been rejecting God's word. Yes, they went after other gods. God forbade them to go other gods. God said, I'm the only God. Yes, you must worship me. But they went after other gods. And then God sent prophets after prophets to plead with them to turn back to the one true living God, and also to serve them the warning of impending judgment. But they didn't care. They didn't care to repent. And what did they do? They persecuted the prophets, and they even killed them. And their worst sin was killing the Messiah that God said he would send to his people. And the Jews for ages were looking for the Messiah to come. But when the Messiah came, they rejected him, they killed him, they crucified him. And then as a follow-up, what did they do? They persecuted the apostles, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They then persecuted the Jewish Christians, and now they were persecuting the Thessalonians, not directly but indirectly, by instigating the Gentiles in the city of Thessalonica to persecute the Gentile Christians. Now, why did the Jews commit all these crimes against the Lord? Why? Because they rejected God's word, as Jeremiah said. They rejected God's word. When they rejected his word, they were actually saying to God, God, we don't want you to be our God. Yes. They preferred to worship idols. And you know why they preferred to worship idols rather than the one true living God? You know why? The real reason was because they wanted to have the license to sin. That's the reason. We don't want your word, Lord. We don't want you to be our God. We want to have our own idols. Reason? Of course, they didn't say it, but the reason was because they really wanted to have the license to sin. Now they express this kind of a thinking at the foot of Mount Sinai. You remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive God's word for 40 days and 40 nights he was with the Lord to receive God's 10 commandments. And then what did the children of Israel do? They said, now that Moses is away, let us do something that we to please ourselves. And so they raised up a golden calf to worship at the foot of Mount Sinai. Now, why did they want to raise up the golden calf to worship? Because they want to practice their license. They wanted to sin. And so we read in Exodus 32, verse 6. Yes, Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and now they had raised up the golden calf. And the word of God in Exodus 32, verse 6 says, they rose up early on the morrow. You see how excited they were in wanting to sin. So they rose up early on the morrow, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings to their idol, of course, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They wanted to have their orgies, their sexual orgies. That's the reason why they didn't want to worship the one true living God. That's why they rejected his word. Yes, because they wanted to have the license to sin. Now, throughout the history of the Israelites, the thinking was the same. God, we don't want you to rule over us. We prefer idols. Reason? Because we want to have the license to sin. So they rejected God's word. The result was they persecuted those who brought God's word to them. They committed this terrible, terrible sin. One very terrible sin. You look at verse 16. You know, the kind of sin that they committed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. This terrible sin that they committed. Verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Can you imagine that? They even stopped them from preaching the gospel to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles could be saved. To fill up the sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, because they rejected God. Paul here says they were filling up their sins. You know what that means? They were storing up their sins, piling up their sins, heaping up their sins for the day of judgment. And the final straw in God's dealing with the Jews was when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when they crucified him, you know what they said? His blood be upon us and on our children. Yes? Crucify him, let his blood be on us and on our children. And did not the wrath of God come upon them? Of course it did. God was very, very patient in dealing with them. And finally, enough was enough. God's wrath came down upon them. And it came down upon them very quickly. In the year AD 70, the Romans attacked the city of Jerusalem, ransacked it, destroyed it, destroyed the temple of Jerusalem. Because God's glory, of course, had departed from the city of Jerusalem. And as of the year AD 70, for the next 2,000 years, the Jews were scattered all over the world. And over the 2,000 years, yes, they went through great sufferings. Yes, they cried out, let his blood be upon us. And they had to face the consequence of what they said. Yes, indeed, they suffered great sufferings over the 2,000 years that they were scattered abroad. Now, when a nation rejects God's word, it will surely commit very, very grievous sin against the Lord. Yes, as in the case of the Jews, the greatest sin, the most grievous sin that they committed against the one true living God was the rejecting the Messiah and crucifying the Messiah. Now, when a nation rejects God's word, it will surely commit grievous sins against the Lord. The communists reject God's word. Now, what was the sin that they commit? They persecute the saints, persecute believers. Then in church history, the Roman Catholic Church rejected God's word as the sole authority of faith and the sole authority for the practice of faith. And then they created their own traditions and put their traditions on par with the word of God. What was the result? Yes, they rejected the word of God as the sole authority for faith and for the practice of faith. The result was they persecuted the saints who stood on the belief that the word of God is the sole authority for faith and for practice of faith. They persecuted the saints. The Roman Catholic Church persecuted the saints. And many saints were burned at the stake because of their obedience to the one true living God. You see the kind of sin that the Roman Church was guilty of. And then when people in the so-called free world reject God's word, evil consequence will surely come. The fabric, the social fabric of society will surely break down. For example, when they reject the Genesis account and then dismiss the Genesis account as nothing but Jewish fairy tales, what is the result? Yes, one of the results is this. They reject the concept of marriage. You reject the Genesis account, of course you reject the concept of marriage. They reject the truth that marriage was instituted by the one true living God as a union between one man and one woman. And this union is for life. They reject this concept. Yes, and because they reject this concept as prescribed by the word of God, what do we see today? Yes, rampant premarital sex, adulterous relationships, people cohabitating together and they call themselves partners. But my dear friends, that kind of relationship is a very adulterous relationship. Then we see broken marriages, single parenthood, broken homes. And now what do we see? We see rampant homosexual relationship. Homosexuality today is regarded as normal. It is seen as an alternate lifestyle. That's all. And many politicians, because they want to be politically right, not because they want to be morally right, but politically right, have endorsed these same-sex marriages. But friends, the word of God is very, very clear. The word of God condemns homosexuality. But today, my dear friends, if we were to speak out against same-sex marriage, if we were to speak out against homosexuality, we are seen as what? Violating human rights. Yes, we are seen as being bad. Now, because people reject the word of God, we also see the lowering of moral standards of the law of the country. The standards become lower and lower until the laws, in many instances, actually have lost their teeth. In fact, some countries, which are Christian in name, sometimes appear to be in a state of lawlessness. Why? Why do they appear to be in a state of lawlessness? Because they have rejected God's word. Sometimes I look at Australia and I feel quite sad about this country. It is such a beautiful country, a very wonderful country. But I cannot say that this country is not in a state of lawlessness. I cannot say that. Absolutely. When I look at the amount of graffitis around me, and the law seems to be tolerating it. Yes, nobody gets punished for that. And the law seems to be tolerating it. Isn't this lawlessness? Then the sense of justice in this country, I think, is quite warped. Now, for example, if a person is guilty of king-hitting a person, you know what's meant by king-hitting a person? You used to deliver a cowardly punch to a person, and he falls down and he has got to go to hospital, gets hospitalized, and if he recovers, the person who delivers the punch will only suffer a maximum consequence of going to jail for 2 years. Maximum imprisonment, 2 years. But if you are guilty of being cruel to animals, if you are caught, you know how many years you have to go to jail, maximum? You want to guess? Half a year? 5 years. All right. You tell me, where is the sense of justice? What is more valuable, the life of an animal or the life of a human being? So you see, when people reject God's word, the sense of justice is completely gone. Yes. Now, on an individual level, if we reject God's word, we cannot be saved. And that's the truth, friends. When we reject God's word, as we said already, we are telling God, God, we don't want you to be our God. We don't want to listen to you, God. We don't want you to have control over us. We are telling God, God, we have our own God. And often, you know who that God is when we say we have our own God? It's the big I myself. I want to be my own boss. I want to control my own destiny. I want to worship myself. Friends, if we take that position, we have already broken the first two laws of the word of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them. My dear friends, except you repent from this sin, the sin of self-worship, the sin of rejecting God's word, my dear friends, you cannot be saved. Thank God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is very, very merciful. He came and he died for us on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood to save us, to redeem us. And today he offers salvation to anyone who is willing to repent. Now, if today, if you are guilty of the sin of self-worship, you have been rejecting God's word, but today, if you are willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to repent from my sins. I want to give up my sin of self-worship. I want to worship you and you alone. I accept your word. I want to receive your word as absolutely your word of truth. Lord, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. My dear friends, if you are sincere, you desire the Lord to be your Savior, he will be your Savior today. Then if we are believers and we choose to reject God's word, for sure, my dear friends, we are going to mess up our lives. If we choose to reject God's word, we are going to mess up our lives. For example, God's word says in Exodus 20 verse 17, talking about the sin of covetousness, the law is given in this manner. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. If we shut our ears to this commandment, we don't want to listen. Yes, we say, Lord, I'm not going to listen to this commandment of yours. What is the result? We become covetous. And if we become covetous, we might end up stealing. And if we are covetous, we might end up stealing not only money, we could be stealing other people's wives. And that is adultery. Yes? And then God's word also says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, if you choose to reject this teaching, you will mess up your lives too. You might end up being unequally yoked with a non-believing husband, a non-believing wife, a non-believing business partner. Now, I have seen miseries upon miseries that the people heap upon themselves because they refuse to obey this commandment of God. Yes, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. They end up with a non-believer, and then they have to live a nightmare, literally a nightmare, until the day they are divorced from their unbelieving partner. Or they might partner a non-believer in a, or people might partner a non-believer in a business venture, as a result of which they lose lots of money because the non-believing partner swindles the believer of the money. But some people never learn. You know, after they have gone in, they say, I got burned because I went into this business venture with a non-believer. And then when they think of starting a business again, they are still thinking of going into business with another non-believer. But friends, let us all learn. Let us not reject God's word. Receive God's word and believe that it is indeed God's word, and God's word is absolutely right. We must necessarily obey God's word. So let's not reject God's word. His word is given to us for a purpose. It is profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, in other words, mature, yes, may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives us his word so that we will all be able to produce good works that are most glorifying to him. Now let's learn from the lessons taught in his word. The Jews rejected God's word and they heaped sins upon sins until finally the judgment of God came down upon them. Now if you reject his word, my dear friends, one day you will have to face the wrath of God. If you do not want God to rule over you, you want to rule yourself, understand this truth. You are already condemned. You are already under condemnation. You are heading for eternal hell. And friends, if you are a believer and if you are not fully receptive of his word, which means that you choose not to obey certain parts of the word of God, understand this truth. God's chastisement may come down upon you. And when it comes down upon you, you can be sure that it is something that can be very, very heavy, something that is very painful. So why Why reject God's word? Let's not do it. God wants us to receive his word. Let us be like the Thessalonians, who were very, very receptive of God's word. They received his word, the result of which was they became exemplary believers. They became very, very evangelistic. They became very, very joyful Christians. They became very hopeful Christians. And they received God's word. And of course, they suffered persecution. But when they suffered persecution, they were able to rejoice, because the Holy Spirit was the joy. The Holy Spirit gave them joy, and so they were able to rejoice. So, my dear friends, today let's learn these precious lessons. Let's not reject God's word, but let us receive his word. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that we may be like the Thessalonian Christians. Help us, O Lord God, that we may not reject your word, but we may be very receptive to your word, to receive it as indeed your word, and believe that it is absolutely true, and that you have given your word to us for a very good purpose, and that is to cause us, O Lord God, to be the Christians that you want us to be able to glorify your holy name. Father, we pray for those who might not have known you as Lord and Savior yet. May you speak to their hearts, cause them to be receptive of your word, so that they will come to trust in you as Lord and Savior. And for the rest of us, Lord, we pray that we may fully be receptive of your word, so that we may be the exemplary believers like the Thessalonian Christians were. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.